Hello, listeners, and welcome to the season 2 premiere of the Dark Matter Magazine podcast, an audio presentation of the short fiction, interviews, and features you'll find within the pages of Dark Matter Magazine. Our magazine strives to curate the best and darkest of sci-fi and horror from both new and established voices. This podcast is no different. Listener discretion is advised. But before we dive into that, we have an exciting announcement. Our audiobook line is starting with Ai Jiang's novella, Ling Huan. Narrated by Nancy Wu, we're transported to a grief-sick town in this modern gothic ghost story, and I can't wait for you all to hear it. For more stories like this one, visit darkmattermagazine.shop. For yearly subscriptions and 20% off every purchase, sign up for a premium or deluxe membership with Dark Matter. Memberships start for as low as $1 per month. For more info or to sign up, visit darkmattermagazine.shop/pages/memberships. Now it's time to dive into this episode. Wildflower by Anna Madden. Narrated by Atticus Jackson. Edited and sound designed by Allie Nesbitt. Produced by Phil McLaughlin.
Chase stared across the prairie of Aeolus, a planet named for a long-forgotten god. Like any frontier, this place bred trouble. Weeds rustled. The musk of bighorns filled his nose. Chase stalked closer. He gripped his faithful rifle, given to him by a man he no longer spoke to, and crouched behind blue-stemmed tall grass. To the sides, nightbird grew. It was dense, spiny, with neurotoxic thorns. Good cover for a marksman in flat terrain. As Chase took a prone shooting position, his armor pinched. He ignored it, raising the rifle butt to his neck. His left arm supported the barrel. The magazine held 10 rounds. That's all he'd been given. No doubt a precaution in case he defected. Chase's orders were clear. Despite that, his thoughts were sharp daggers. If he got caught, he would meet a fast bullet. If he ran, he'd be hung up by the neck until dead. Beneath his helmet, Chase set his jaw. He wasn't one to miss targets. And he didn't waste bullets either. He would earn his surname back before sunset. Ahead, quick footfalls approached his position. The shadow of a nomad sentinel, sharp-eyed, with a shotgun slung over his shoulders, fell over Chase. He held his breath, but his left elbow slipped, and his rifle butt shifted. Grit scraped free underneath it. Chase silenced a curse even as the nomad halted. A mass of night burr between them. A glare bounced off the other's firearm, peeking through the thorns. Chase might have time to reposition and fire off a round. Still, he waited, experience staying his hand. His armor hit him, its surface capable of mirroring the dense overgrowth. His rifle poked through the grass blades. The dark walnut finish was irregular, easily spotted, like a misplaced branch where no trees grew or fell. Boots stepped closer. They creaked, made of old leather. The nomad shifted his weight. A pause, then a fiddle of cloth. Piss watered the thicket in a hard stream. The nomad sighed, shuffled again, then turned and walked away. Chase relaxed his shoulders. He moved his rifle into better cover. A bighorn bellowed. The herd grazed nearby, their tails flicking back and forth against a plague of hungry flies. Even closer, Dome tents flattened a patch of blue-green meadow. Through his rifle scope, Chase counted. There were 12 nomads, their skin and hair a bright copper, and 5 visible firearms. A couple shotguns and single-barrel pistols. No long-range weapons. But even so, this job wouldn't be easy. Like coyotes, these nomads were skittish, yet still great fighters. The Selbon hated them, for technically, the nomads had first claim to this planet. They were of old blood, descendants of the maiden colony. The nomads didn't respect laws, and walls didn't hold them. In their territory, Chase was glad to be downwind, his scent masked with the glare of the sun at his back. He marked his target for capture and return. She caught the eye, though not from beauty or grace. Her skin was worn from strong UV exposure, and her limbs were lean, hardened by a nomadic life. Still, there was something about her open expression and her stark black hair, the depthless color, those strands of darkness, like the vacuum of space. Her name was Susan Weather. Chase had read her file with care. Born on a large Selbon estate where wind turbines rooted the prairie as artificial white trees. Susan was 5 when her home was raided. Her parents died in the scuffle. Her relations had thought Susan dead too, until a month ago. She had been spotted by chance. Dark hair stood out on this planet, especially among the natural ground cover and the dull brown-backed bighorns. She was the last seed of a withering bloodline. Once reclaimed, she would be a bride of wealth and prestige. Sons of vultures, the Selbon, even if they were the social elite. Chase knew, for he had been born into their number years ago. Chase eyed the captive and magnified her image in his visor. His helmet compared it to the picture attached to her file. A facial match confirmed, blinking green across his visor. But she had grown much. Susan wasn't a helpless child anymore. Her strong countenance proved hardship couldn't break her. Or maybe she hadn't experienced strife beyond the shortage of food or the harshness of winter. With ease, Chase remembered looking into a stranger's face and accepting it. As a youth, he too had been taken from his family estate, then raised by a man of no relation. A man who killed for a living. He taught Chase how to clean a gun, to shoot without flinching, and to mend armor. Chase was content until he learned the truth. His blood family had been a contract, and that contract had been completed. Chase left without a word, unable to confront his would-be father. Instead, he hunted down the Selbon responsible. He got caught and was offered a choice. Die or recover Susan Weather. Chase blinked hard. He felt the old rage. A fire burning hot inside him. It had taken a week, but he had found her. A bighorn's cured skin clothed Susan's chest and legs. The rough fabric didn't hide the swell of her belly beneath it. She turned, and Chase frowned, for a rifle hung off a leather strap on her back. It was a single-shot model, inferior to his, but the range and accuracy matched. She stood beside one of the nomads, and her eyes softened when she spoke to him. Chase detached a hand-sized mimic off his belt. It was a risk, for it contained one of 5 batteries feeding his armor. Still, he hadn't counted on the nomads possessing a rifle. They weren't commonplace thanks to Selbon laws. He set a 5-second delay on the mimic. Satisfied, Chase threw it hard to his right, well clear of his position. It would project his voice if he spoke, and echo his shots. A decoy to make it seem like he wasn't alone. Shooters did best in pairs. He adjusted his rifle, took aim on an armed nomad, and switched off the safety. Squeezing the trigger, gunfire split the air. The rifle kicked back against Chase's shoulder. Startled bighorn stampeded off, stirring dust and grass blades and pollen. An empty cartridge fell free. It smelled of burnt metal and sulfur. The scared bighorns provided a good distraction, one Chase would use to full advantage. The nomads scrambled into action. Three broke off, their feet like loosed arrows, close on the heels of their herd. Chase saw Susan dart for cover, losing her behind the tents. A shotgun-wielding nomad pointed a finger towards Chase's position. He must have seen the muzzle flash. Chase took the informant out. At 10 o'clock, another nomad sprinted, weaving back and forth. He kept to the tall's growth. Leading the target, Chase predicted his shot and fired. As the round landed mid-chest, the mimic echoed the rifle's crack. To Chase, it was a sound to filter out. Dust made Chase's breath taste of dirt, and a haze distorted the immediate area. Two more spent cartridges spilled out. The remaining nomads ducked for cover. They hid in the tall weeds and behind the dome tents. A blood-stirring yell rang out in their language. It sounded like a challenge, an insult, or both. On second thought, it was definitely both. A gust blew. Searching, Chase spotted a leg through the shifting tall grass and the clouded air. It wasn't a woman's, so he took aim without hesitation. The injured nomad flailed, and Chase moved into a crouched position to give the kill shot. An enemy fired back. It was a deep-throated crack. It wasn't the mimic. There was no mistaking the sound of a true rifle. On instinct, Chase flattened himself. He glanced down. A nick marred his shoulder guard where the bullet had ricocheted off. Luckily, not a direct hit. His armor flickered. The mirror broke, then deactivated. Its surface going back to its default, a sand-like limestone color. An insane shot, especially considering the sun, the dust, not to mention his superior camouflage. Chase pictured the rifle on Susan's back. Was she so skilled a markswoman then? He hadn't expected that. Time to decide. Intimidate or negotiate. 5 rounds left. He had enough ammunition, barely, but his damaged armor made him feel naked. He was outmanned, outgunned, with his position located. If he could have, he would have eliminated the rifle wielder first, but taking out Susan Wuther wasn't an option. Not yet. Chase whistled. The mimic relayed it 5 seconds later. Movement across the prairie stopped. Dust settled and a silence stretched. Even the winds seemed to listen, going stale.
Let's talk.
He called out, his voice repeated from the mimic. It sounded brash in common tongue.
Now mark your location. If you kill us, the Selbon will send more. Many more.
What do you want?
A nomad said, using common too, his accent heavy. Their leader, denoted by his confident voice, he would have earned his place among the pack. a difference from the Celebon who ruled by birthright and cheap tricks.
I'm here for Susan Mother.
Chase sent back. The battery icon flashed. Chase cursed. The mimic in the camouflage had drained his power supply more than expected. He was running out of time.
Says that isn't her name,
the nomad leader said. A shotgun fired for emphasis, hitting the dirt several feet in front of Chase. Out of range, Chase smiled, tight-lipped, but kept still. He activated his heat sensors. If wise, his enemy was using this opportunity to flank him. His visor painted heat sources red. He needed to take out a couple more nomads before the batteries went dry, or at least locate Susan's position. On the other side of a flapping tent, a red-marked silhouette stepped backwards, repositioning. The curve of a rounded belly stood out.
I'd like to hear it from her,
Chase shouted back. Movement in the grass drew his attention. He counted five red marks advancing fast. The nomads had fanned out, encircling to the rear of his hideout, nearing the thick night fur. Up close, Chase saw facial hair and detailed expressions. Saw their sweat, the pores on their cheeks, and hungry eyes. Two men took the night burr at a run. One carried a shotgun, the other a knife. Red cuts soon laced their bare arms while invisible toxin entered their bloodstreams. Chase rolled to intercept them, his expression a void behind his helmet. Their approach slowed, their muscles twitching. Chase claimed a headshot. The other nomad reached out, catching his comrade, using his friend as a shield even as his shotgun stared Chase down. The enemy peeled back his lips and showed off his teeth. The buckshot bent Chase's breastplate, slamming across the surface. Like a boulder, it hit hard. Planting his rifle into the ground, he caught himself and kicked the wolf-faced foe into the night burr again. Chase slammed his rifle's butt into the man's skull, corrected his stance, and fired at point blank. The neurotoxin would do the rest. A third nomad growled a challenge. He threw a small knife, targeting Chase's knee joint. Chase grunted, fired a single shot into his enemy, then pulled the blade free. The metal streaked crimson and threw it into the night burr. The fourth enemy hadn't followed the rest. Instead, the man approached the mimic. Chase used two precious rounds on that one. He shook his head, panting hard. These bastards were tough. The tall grass closed over to the dead bodies. The battery icon flashed across his visor again, then died. The smell of gunpowder kept him on edge. Unease twisted his stomach. No heat signatures dotted his vision. The fifth nomad was the largest. He charged the night burr, a war cry in his throat. His cheeks were angular, and he grasped an elbow-length knife in capable hands. He looked fierce, and the toxic night burr had slow effect. Chase raised his rifle, but Susan fired, forcing him to the ground. Suddenly, Chase knew. This man who approached was the nomadic leader, and he would not go down fast. The nomad broke free of the thorny growth. Using his rifle, Chase met the nomad's knife. He needed to protect the weak points in his armor, joints, the neck, and the visor. The nomad reared back and headbutted Chase. With a shudder, his visor cracked. A sharp ring hummed in both ears. Blinded, Chase swung his rifle like a long spear. A solid impact vibrated his fingers, and he heard a gasp. Then footsteps staggering backward. Chase couldn't see. With one hand, he pulled his helmet free.
That explains it,
the nomad said, spitting bile on the ground.
You fight without honor, tricking us, making us think there are two. Only a Selbon would fight so.
He stood on bent knees, his hands grasping them, panting heavily. Scratches marred his forearms.
I can't choose what I am,
Chase said, stalling, his eyes darting to the nomad's thorn-made wounds.
I was born a Selbon. Blood is blood.
The nomad leader scoffed.
You Selbon travel too much back and forth. Up high, through that blank space. You've forgotten. You're just an animal. Same as us.
I haven't forgotten,
Chase said.
I know too well what I am.
A rifle interrupted them. Its sharp bite tasted Chase's shooting arm. He groaned and lost hold of his rifle. The sun glared, catching the reflection of metal. The knife. Chase dove, his injured knee aflame. The nomad leader cried out, then jumped forward too. Chase reached it first. He picked up the blade and slashed without hesitation. Blood spilled from the nomad's forehead and dripped into his eyes, hindering him. And his hands shook. The enemy rifle fired, closer now. Chase flinched, but the shot missed by a hair. He tossed the knife, grabbed his rifle up, readying it, and stepped through the night burr. His armor protected his skin against the perilous thorns. The encampment looked uglier without a screen filtering it. The colors were bolder. Scents of dung, stirred pollen, salt, and gunpowder mingled together. Wet blood marred the tents. Through the dust, Susan appeared, her rifle at the ready. His arm throbbed, but Chase raised his gun. His index finger brushed the trigger.
You don't have to fight, Susan. Not anymore.
The woman didn't blink.
I said, that isn't my name. It's Blue Star.
Chase pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. Chase pulled again, heard a distinctive click, and realized his mistake. No more ammunition. Susan discharged her weapon. At this range, a pointed rifle bullet pierced breastplate without effort. Chase staggered to his knees. Chase said, his voice breathless. He put a hand to his chest and felt the wetness there. Soft footfalls approached.
I am home,
she said. The woman reloaded her rifle.
This is my family, my place, my people. You took them from me.
Chase twitched his fingers and winced. The pain helped Chase focus.
The nomads took you from your home, from your true people. They killed your parents and seized what they wanted.
Grass crunched beneath him. His hair caught the breeze. It was dark, the same as hers.
You fight for your enemy.
You don't get to decide for me,
she said.
You judge what you cannot understand.
The horizon beckoned with its edges smudged rust orange. Chase thought of his own family. Which was the true one? The marksman had been like a father to Chase, had shaped him, had taught him life was unfair but worth living. He had barely known his true parents. Only their name was left. and it had been stolen. He hated the Selbon. No wonder Chase looked at this woman and tasted his own bitterness. He looked at Susan Weather and saw a reflection, though he wondered if this, like his mirrored armor, prevented him from actually seeing her. He swallowed, then nodded.
Miss, keep that hair of yours wrapped. Or died, so you weren't so easily spotted.
Susan took her stance, her left hand tied on the forestock, her feet shoulder-width apart. Chase coughed. His blood darkened the blue-green grassland. He wondered if she was sure of her choice, or if she would change it. He might have changed his if he had more time. Chase breathed out, then shuddered, the air rasping in his throat. Chase stared at Susan. He couldn't look away. She was a wildflower, hardy, determined to face the sun and to live. Susan's rifle fired, deafening him. His vision blurred. He saw blackness, as though he had never been to this prairie or seen this girl turned woman. It wasn't hard to imagine himself fading out of existence, turning to dust, blowing across this prairie. A forgotten man on a planet named for a long forgotten god.
Thank you for listening to Dark Matter Magazine. This podcast has been a presentation of Dark Matter Audio Lab, produced by Allie Nesbitt and executive produced by Rob Carroll and Phil McLaughlin. For more stories and content like this, please visit darkmattermagazine.shop, where you can subscribe to the magazine and learn more about our authors and performers. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us, and we'll see you again with a new episode in 2 weeks.